First Corinthians chapter 12. Wade, why don't you sit over here? You want to sit over here next to Josanna?
Sure.
You know, anybody can, you can really sit right here. I mean, that's always.
You might need a gesture.
He just walked on by.
Yeah. He might gesture right in your face.
Oh. Princess is very unhappy about the new regime. I don't bring her over anymore. She has to stay in the office or the bedroom. And she is just...
That's why she's been so nice to me.
She just pouts like she's just something else. Well, if you'd stop nipping at people, then I would.
That's what she did to Connor yesterday.
I want to. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and it's. I want to do something different this morning. I want to try to set the stage for something else. So, but starting in verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and the same self. All these worketh at one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Okay, now go over to verse 27, and I want to show you, see if we can see a relationship to something. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, the gift of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. I believe there's not only the relationship in terms of the meaning of the gifts as they apply as individual gifts, but there is a relationship, direct one-to-one relationship, to the listing of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit in verse 8, and the listing of the gifts or the functions in verse 28. For instance, the first gift mentioned is the gift of wisdom, and the first office mentioned is the gift of the apostle. The second gift mentioned is the word of knowledge, and the second office mentioned is the prophet, and he goes right on down the line. Now, I am convinced that for each person, the only way that whatever their office is, whatever their function is, and the mystery in the body of Christ can be revealed and will be revealed only as they fall into the ground and die. And if they die, then they bear much fruit. Now, I'm not sure that we have any of these gifts or offices working anywhere in the world, or at least visibly. Because what happens is, people believe that they have a calling without the death. They believe that the gifts operate without the death. And so we know that all of the gifts of the Spirit, all the miracles, all the so-called signs and wonders, all can be fake because we're warned about it. But think about it. If
if the essence of Christianity is deny yourself or abandon yourself, take no thought for yourself, and pick up your cross, if the essence of that is no thought about yourself, no thought about tomorrow, no thought about what you're going to do, then how can the gifts of the Spirit be truly and honestly operating if there is no death? The answer is they can't. That's why, especially, and I'm talking now about, we've been at this investigative stuff for a long time. And I know I have been, especially when I was a brand new believer, I was just so totally, I believe that I told you, the second I became a believer, I was speaking in tongues. I didn't know what it was. All I knew is that something had happened, and I was sobbing and praying in a way I did not understand. And then I'd go, and therefore I first thought that everybody that named the name of Christ spoke in tongues, and that was a big shock. And then I'd go to these places over and over and over and over, and if I had the gift of discerning of spirits, something was working in me that said something is wrong with this picture. Because all of the places that I went to were telling me how to get something in the name of God. And I'd watch as they had these ceremonies where they'd lay hands on somebody, because this was in the charismatic height of movement, and everybody's trying to get everybody speaking tongues. And the preacher would get up there and lay hands on it, and everybody getting around a circle and lay hands on them. And just open your mouth. Just start babbling. Blah, 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 blah. And it was goofy. And I'd hear these people give, "Thus saith the Lord." And I was a brand new Christian, and I knew it was BS. It was just so stupid, it didn't even work. It didn't merit putting the name of God on it. And then I'd stand up and say that. And then that was another place I never got invited back. But the point of it is that all of us, and this entire generation, have been seduced into either accepting this phony crap about the gifts or being so turned off about what we see that we're afraid of it, and therefore everything is a standoffish. But either way, our model isn't out there. It isn't what anybody else is doing. Our only model is the Scriptures. The same way that the way we operate, the way we conduct ourselves, we're not after the First Pentecostal Church of Longview or something. Our only model is the Scriptures, and so that's why I'm taking so much time trying to show you what it isn't before you can see what it is. Anybody have any response? Turns his phone off and must be emergency. Anybody want to sing a song while we're waiting for Gary? Gary, Harry, we going to sing? Anybody have any response to what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm good at that. After a church on the rock, come over to East Dallas, and a suit and tie there, try and teach us how to speak in tongues. They bubble up from our bellies, into your mouth, point your eyes, raise your hands.
Well, you understand what I mean about either being seduced by the phony or being so turned off by it that you're standoffish?
Yeah.
Huh?
Every year when we talk about this, I really...
Well, I know. I can feel it. You don't want to hear it.
I went to one of those things, and And that's where I started speaking in tongues, and I don't think it was public.
I've heard you speak in tongues.
So?
The speaking in tongues, when we get to it, has a speech pattern. It's a definite pattern of speech. It has nouns and verbs, and I was kidding you. The whole point of it, it could very well be. That's fine. But I'm telling you that it is not babble. It is not, I want to buy a Honda. Kashamba baba booba. It is not, I promise you, and I can say this with a certainty, that it is not a bunch of meaningless little sounds that are repeated over and over again. Well, it doesn't matter. But the point of it is, the first requirement is now that you accept your death. That it isn't about you. It's about the outworking of Him in His body. And the best is, it's about us. But it certainly isn't about you. So your opinions about it have to be left in the dust. You have to admit. I have to admit. Or maybe we were seduced. Maybe we got the false message. Maybe all our either positive or negative feelings about it are wrong, because they were filtered through our own need. And if we had a psychological need for some aspect, and this met it, we were easily seduced. You understand? I mean, how many times have you been seduced by the opposite sex because you were attracted because of your need? I promise you, if you are attracted to God from any other, if you are attracted to God vis-a-vis ministry, for anything other than emptiness, then there's a good likelihood that you've been seduced. This is why I spent so many years studying. So many years not paying attention to what was going on, but only what can be verified by the Scriptures. And when we get to tongues, you will see that the original purpose of tongues was to undo from a spirit in the spirit what was done at the Tower of Babel in the confusion of languages. We will see that its purpose at Pentecost was so that all of those that were there from all of the places all over the world, in which Hebrew was not their native tongue, they could hear the mystery of God being proclaimed in their own language. It all has to do about your death before anything else can happen. So here we have, first is the gift of wisdom, or the word of wisdom. In the order here of then how that's outworked, we have apostle. Then we have the gift of the word of knowledge. And then we have what? Prophets. But prophets doesn't mean telling the future. The real meaning of prophet is one who proclaims with perfect clarity the mystery of God. The word of wisdom really means that you have fallen into the ground and died so that there is none of you left. What? You're upset.
I'm not upset at all. That is so cool, because with the predicate of the cross and your death, it doesn't matter anything. I mean, what I said to you and what you said to me means nothing, because if I hold on to it, it's bullshit. Or if you do, it is. But because of the cross, I can say anything I want.
wrong that I want all about good.
Right.
And it passes into the drop. And so that's why the cross is so universal and perfect.
Well, it is so vital, because otherwise you're going to walk like the Gentiles walk. You're going to walk and hold resentments and feel that you're a victim and there's not forgiveness, and you will have an idea. I promise you, if you have an idea what your call from God is, it isn't it. I promise you, if you want to teach or preach, that's not your calling. The most powerful gifts are the gifts that are the same thing as the most powerful in you, that the gifts are for the body. These are the gifts that operate silently, like the thyroid gland and the other hormonal glands that operate in your body, that without them, you become just a hunk of dead flesh. I mean, it's like the whole idea. Bloom used to justify. I'll pick on Bloom for a minute. Bloom justified his sort of weird lifestyle because the sexual stuff is not controllable because it's on the other side of your cerebral cortex or some such. I mean, he had this whole thing figured out.
Works for me.
Have you guys heard about this? There was an experiment where. They did it at NPR, in fact, where they started. Let me back up. An individual had a medical problem in which he had no testosterone for a period of time, for like a month or two. During that period of time, he loved everybody. He didn't want anything. He was perfectly at peace, and he called it, I have like the God consciousness. And he was an atheist. And he was always in a good mood, always happy, because he never wanted. He didn't lust. He didn't need. And I said, my God, that's wonderful. Because the reason God has given both male and female testosterone, as the hormone that's produced in the body, is so that you can work out your own salvation, fear, and troubling, so that you can, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should be fed up with fornication. Fed up with going with the illusion of need or want. And that's, so this guy, this atheist guy, got a taste of what this mystery is about because his body stopped producing testosterone. Do you understand the beauty of that? It's the picture of what sanctification is. So that no matter where you look, no matter what you see, you never know the experience of want or need. My God in heaven. Now, why did God make us like that then? Why did He give us testosterone? Why did He give us the hormones that? Because it's a picture of His perfect plan. And I promise you that the only way that your fulfillment, your office in the body will be fulfilled, was with the predicate of your death. Otherwise, you're going to walk in deception, because you will always be filtered through testosterone, you'll be filtered through estrogen, you'll be filtered through all of these hormones that have controlled you. The mystery of this is revealed. It takes a little time to dig it out, but the office in the body is revealed in the 24 courses of the priesthood and the offices and functions of the Levites. That gives all of the offices of how this mystery of God and Christ being worked out in you, in His people, is manifested. But it can't happen. It can't even begin unless you know first that you are the chief of sinners. Unless you know first that you owe your senses nothing. You owe your emotions nothing. Because otherwise, you will be constantly
fueled by anger or jealousy or unforgiveness or if onlys. I mean, there can't be his mystery. Now, I've been waiting a long time to talk about this. And these gifts, these words, that's why it was so important that everybody understood that even the writing, it's just this conspiracy that we've all agreed to and all been party to all our lives, that these little scratches will mean this. And then we read words like miracles and prophet, but those are just sounds that our culture has all agreed that will mean that thing. Now, it all served its purpose up till now, because without that kind of cultural thing, we'd have died. We couldn't have made it across the street without your high place activity. But it's now time that we become one body, one faith, one baptism, one people, with the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit fully operating. But you can't go into this with your a priori ideas of either what you have experienced before because it probably was wrong, or what I've experienced before because it was probably wrong. We have to experience this and go into this as if this was the first time it was happening in 2,000 years, and we've got the guidelines here to know when we screw up. That's the way I approached my conversion, because otherwise I'd have been crazy. Because every place I went, every book I read, it was exactly opposite of what I had experienced as this mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. It was all trying to get me to be something or get something. And so I said, God, I have to accept the possibility that I may be the only one in the world that believes this. But then I have to have the incredible zeal, if you will, to make sure that I am not deceived in any arena. Now, that's the feeling I want all of us to have. We've just started a new leg of the journey. A journey that is more exciting, more dynamic than anything you've ever dreamed of. But you've got to leave everything else behind. You've got to look at each other and no longer see the surface. You've got to come back, little Sheba. Now, this is a dangerous journey. But it's a journey you're going to take whether you want to or not. Not because of me, because the journey is called... You might as well accept your death today, because you're going to have to accept it someday in the future. And every major revelation of God and Christ I have had has came at the point when either the first one, I accepted my death, I don't care what happens to me. The second one, I had a gun in my mouth. The third and fourth and fifth, when I was hurting so bad I thought I was going to die. And every single time, whatever the issue is, it has to be re-emphasized and re-emphasized. Father, I accept my death. Then and only then will his mystery be shared with you. And I'm tired about talking about the mystery. It's time that you start living the mystery. Every time you see a rain, you should stand there and in thankfulness that it isn't the fire and brimstone that was rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, because you and I deserve it. Every time we see anything then you can walk in mercy. And if you walk in mercy, you will show mercy. And stop walking with the idea of what things are supposed to happen next. And slowly but surely you will return to that awe and excitement you had as a little kid. Instead of this, existence and just, well, I'm just living. I'm just sort of getting by. I'm just getting by until the next what? For the world, it's the weekend or their vacation. For you, it may be the next feast. That's just as evil. Somebody, I'm sure, has a response. Ken?
I know what it's like to feel like at the bottom. And that's when God works in my life. But it's so easy to bind itself again. Well, I hear what you're saying there.
Think of the thousands and thousands and millions of obstacles that he has put in your path over the years. And you've obstinately and determinedly forged on ahead. Every one of those obstacles was God. Every one of those heartaches was God. Every one of those total disappointments was God. It was his Holy Spirit telling you to stop. Stop the insanity and look at life with some kind of integrity and see that the end of all is your death. Shall love expressed in death impress you to repent? Shall the icy hand of winter pull you towards his warmth and understanding? Shall a falling leaves remind you of your fall from his presence? What shall it be? For he shall try all things to reach you. He will call you in each crash of thunder. He will pound at your heart with tears of his rain, standing as the only light within your cavern of death, waiting, waiting, waiting for the breaking of your pride, that you might be set free and live. And I promise you, the true gifts of the Spirit will not be shared with flesh. I'm tired of talking.
You know, this is the only place where there can be confidence. That it's not tainted. It's in death. Everything else, you know, even if you're really smart, it doesn't matter. Then it'll be worse. You'll trick yourself.
It's really bad if you think you're really, really smart. Oh, I just sort of that was a word of knowledge from somewhere.
You think you're low maintenance, but you're really high maintenance.
Aren't you tired? Isn't it time?
My response is that, you know, the second is that that I don't have to try and go out and do something.
No.
Except
repent.
There's no respecter of persons here.
No, but it's so critical that you, if any thought about yourself, that's what we talked about yesterday, any thought about, well, I'm feeling bad, or I didn't sleep, or this, or that, it all has to be repented of because you're the center. Anytime you become the subject, it means the instead of Christ, the Antichrist, has raised himself up in God's temple, and again, showing himself that he's God because he is identifying himself. And we all do it. But most of the time you do it, and out there, you do it, and nobody challenges you. Because this is the power that he has deceived the entire world. Look at it. Go to Revelation 12, and then we'll shut up. Verse 7. And there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now, this isn't some war that's going to happen in 2,000 years or some war that happened a jillion years ago. It is the war now, always, because it's you are the universe. You are your own universe in this context. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the entire world. He was cast out. Where? He was cast out into the earth. He was cast out into you, the earthen vessel. And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The word love there is a verb. It means that you give no breath to yourself any longer. No importance whatsoever to what you feel. Nothing. That's what that word loved. They loved not their lives. Aren't you bored with yourself by now? If you're not bored by now, I don't know what it's going to take. If you still think that there's any possibility of anything coming from you, then you're a fool. Take it big, guy.